this series is coming to an end. I'm not saying I'm looking forward to the series coming to an end. I think it's been a powerful series, but the message, the culmination of the whole series in this message this morning is really, to me, it's just a powerful thing. We've been talking about paradigm shift, obviously, and how that we talked about how that this changes everything. We talked about the purpose for Pentecost and for the whole Holy Spirit coming was in the harvest. We talked about the Father's gift, how the Father's gift is His life by His Spirit inside of us. And last week we talked about power. This morning, I told you last week, this morning I want to pull this all together with a message called Spirit Life. Spirit Life. You know, several years ago, bumper stickers started showing up that say what? Salt life. Salt life. It's interesting. That whole deal was started with, that whole deal, Salt Life, was started by four guys who are hardcore, and by their own admission, by their own, they are what they call ocean-centric. This is their own claims. They started the whole Salt Life idea because they were ocean-centric. And they started it in order to kind of form a community to others who were hardcore ocean people, hardcore saltwater people. And that's how it started. Unfortunately, according to Urban Dictionary, unfortunately, the trend, and I'm quoting here, Urban Dictionary, unfortunately, the trend spread to senior citizens, wannabe hipsters, soccer moms, and others wishing to inform the world that they too have visited the beach and have the bumper sticker to show for it. Hey, as I think about that, and I think about Spirit Life, I cannot help but make some analogies there, how that something that starts out so centric, so hardcore, gets diluted through time and through usage. And so this morning, I want us to talk for a little bit about Spirit Life and what it means. And because Spirit Life, let me just give you a definition. Spirit Life is a life that is centered, a life that at its center is the life of Jesus Christ in the person of the Holy Spirit. That is Spirit Life in a very rough definition. But I just want to talk about it for a moment. And in order to do that, I want us to go to a place. Paul, when he is writing the letter to the Galatians, he is writing this letter because some have come in that wanted to dilute and make the life of Jesus Christ subject to the law again. And so they came in and they were beginning to dilute that. And Paul in his letter is screaming, no, you have freedom in Jesus Christ. In fact, he says at one point, he says, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Be not entangled again in bondage, in the yoke of bondage. And by that, he was talking about the yoke of the law that they were trying to put on them. In fact, he goes further and he says to them, he says, you were created to be free. You were created to be free. But then he gives a caution and a warning. Not to use that freedom for an occasion to live however you want to live. Come on now, let's get real for a moment. He says, don't use your freedom in Christ, the freedom that you have in Christ, to live any kind of way, any way that you want to live. And in that context, he talks about the works of the flesh, and he contrasts it with the fruit of the Spirit. And then he says this one verse. This one verse sums up our entire series in this one verse, and it's Galatians chapter 5, verse 25. If you have your Bibles, turn there. Galatians chapter 5, verse 25. Remember now, he's talking about freedom. He's talking about that freedom not being a license to live any kind of way you want to. So the question then becomes, okay, then how do we live? How should we live? And this one verse kind of sums up our whole series. And Paul says this, since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let's pray. Father, I thank you that for the next few moments that you will come and you will, by your Holy Spirit, that you will come and open us up, teach us, Lord, about what Spirit Life really means. Lord, that it not be diluted in us, That it be something us that is, that we be hardcore about living for Christ, and it not be diluted, Lord, by this message you come this morning. I pray that you would overcome every hindrance to communication, be it on the part of the speaker or the hearer, that we might hear what the Spirit is saying to the church today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Think about it just for a moment. This one scripture sums up the whole series that we have been talking about. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Think about it for a moment. The Spirit was the Father's gift, which gave us the life of Jesus Christ and clothed us in power, the purpose of which was the harvest, and that changes everything. That's the whole series, a whole month worth of series in one sentence. The Spirit was the Father's gift, which gave us the life of Jesus Christ, clothing us in power for the harvest, and that changes everything. The question then becomes this morning, if all of that is true, and all of that is true, the Spirit was the Father's gift, amen? The Spirit is the life of Jesus Christ in us, out of us. Amen? The Spirit did clothe us in power. Amen? And the purpose of that is the harvest. Amen? Come on now. And that does change everything. The question then becomes, if that is the case, then how do we live? How do we live this out? And Paul says this in one scripture, and I want to unpack this scripture here just for a moment, and then we'll see what it means to us. And so I just want to unpack four words here, actually three words. One of them's repeated twice. I just want to unpack that a little bit and see what Paul's actually saying to us in Galatians chapter 5, verse 25. Notice what he says. He says, "Since we live," that word "live" is a very specific word. It means the life that is now free from sin or has sin subjugated. In other words, you live above sin. So since we now live, in fact, to put it in a phrase, it is the resurrected, victorious life of Jesus Christ. So Paul is saying, look. He's saying, look, you. When I say live, I'm not talking about living and breathing. I'm talking about being alive. There's a difference in living and being alive, right? And that's what Paul is saying. Paul has said, you have in you the resurrected life of Jesus Christ. We were just singing about this a few moments ago, and sometimes I think we don't grasp it. We were talking about it in Sunday school. You have in you the resurrected life of Jesus Christ, that you are alive just as Jesus was raised from the grave. Your spirit has been made alive. When you accepted him as Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit lived inside of you, he brought the life of Jesus Christ to live inside of you. And then he says this. He says, since we live by the Spirit. Now, that word spirit, there's a very specific word. It means breath of the Spirit or life of the Spirit. It means the Holy Spirit is the very life and breath of God himself. And that Spirit, again, I'm rehearsing some of what we've already talked about, but I want to make a point with it this morning. That Spirit is inside the Holy Spirit. The person of the Holy Spirit lives inside of you. He says, so now get what he's saying. He's saying we are alive. We have the resurrected, victorious life of Jesus Christ because the Holy Spirit has moved inside of us. I am so thankful this morning that we are alive, as the song said. We are alive. Everywhere that this river of the Spirit of God flows, it brings life. And I'm so thankful that we are alive in Jesus Christ, and we are alive because the Spirit has moved inside of us. The Spirit lives inside of us, the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Spirit of God lives inside of us. Now, again, I know some of this is rehearsal, but I'm going to pull it together here in just a moment. He says, so, since we are alive by the Spirit, since we have the resurrected life of Jesus Christ because the Spirit of God has moved inside of us, let us then walk in step with the Spirit. That word step literally means to hold on to line up with, to give careful observation to. So notice what he's saying here. He's saying, look, you are going to line up with the Holy Spirit. You're going to hold to the Holy Spirit. You're going to give careful observation to the Holy Spirit. That is how you and I are to live. Now understand what he's saying here. The underlying thing that is not said, the underlying thing here that Paul has not said is this. is if you've been alive, been made alive by the Holy Spirit, why then would you try to live without him? Come on now. Think about it for a moment. In other words, if the Holy Spirit living inside of us gave me life, if it quickened my spirit, if it quickened my mind, my soul, my mind, my will and emotions, he redeemed my soul and he made me alive. He brought the life of Jesus Christ inside of me. Then why would I try to live my life without him? Come on now. He says you want to know how to live powerful? You want to know how to live powerful in the life of Jesus Christ? Hold on to the Holy Spirit. You want to know how to live powerful for God? Line up with the Holy Spirit. You want to know how to live powerful for God? Give careful observation to the Holy Spirit. And that's what Paul is saying here. He says, since the Holy Spirit has given us life, live your life by the Spirit who has given you that very life. And yet, is it not like the whole salt life thing? Does it not get diluted? Come on now. Does it not get diluted? It gets diffused and then we don't even know what spirit life looks like anymore, or sounds like, or what spirit life is anymore. Just it gets diluted because people seem to do exactly what Paul said not to do. Come on now, I'm just gonna be real this morning. Seem to live. They've been made alive in the spirit. They have a life of Jesus Christ, but then they seem to think that they can go and live any kind of way that they want to. Now, I know this part of this is not necessarily a shouting message, morning, but I'm not talking about people that aren't here. I'm talking about us. Is there anybody here but us this morning? Well, there may be some angels. If you see them, I want to know. But I'm talking about us this morning, how easy it is to be made alive in Christ and then go live like I want to live. Do what I want to do. Have the attitude I want to have. Come on now, you've gotten quiet on me now. Have the attitude I want to have. Say what I want to say. Be what I want to be, right? Paul says, why would you do that? Why would you do that? The way you used to live produced death. I made you alive. God made you alive by the Holy Spirit. Why would you want to go back and live that way again? Hello? That's what he's talking about. Listen to me. Let me just say you. If it did not work the first time, it's not going to work the second time. Right? If it did not work before you knew Christ, if you were dead before you knew Christ, if you were dead before the Holy Spirit moved inside of you, if what you were doing brought you to a place where you knew you needed God, why would you go back and want to live that way again? Come on now. Right? That's what he's saying. He's saying, so since the Holy Spirit has given you life, live then in line with, hold on to, careful observance of the Holy Spirit. What Paul is saying is, since victorious, resurrected life that we have been given by the Spirit of God living in us, that is the most powerful way to live. I hear people talk all the time about living in the Spirit. Living in the Spirit means this. It means living a life that is Spirit-centric. In other words, it is living a life that is centered around the ways of the Holy Spirit. Why? Because he is the Spirit of the living God. If you want to literally live by the Spirit. That's what Paul is saying to us. Now, I think everyone here would agree with that. The question becomes for us, for you and I, the question becomes, how do we do that? How do we do that? So let's talk about spirit life just for a moment. And if you're taking notes, I want you to write down, I'm going to give you three words to write down. Just write them down in a column, and I'm going to give you something to put out beside. So if you're taking notes, write down three words this morning. Principle, practice, and power. Principle, practice, and power. If you want to know what spirit life is really all about, I'm going to give you three things this morning. Principle, practice, and power. Now let's talk about those three words here just for a moment, each of them. First of all, beside the word principle, you need to write this. This is so crucial before we go on to anything else. Spirit life is first about being and then about doing. Spirit life is first about being and then about doing. I mentioned this last week. I told you I was going to talk with you some more about it this week. See, As Pentecostals and Charismatics, as people who are people of the Spirit, that we consider ourselves people of the Spirit, we want to jump to doing. When I say doing, I mean we want to jump. We want to go straight to, I told you to write three words down, principle, practice, and power. We want to jump straight to power. Come on now, you know I'm telling the truth. We want to jump straight to power. Pastor, I want the gifts of the Spirit. I want to flow in this. I want to flow in that. And we forget the principle. Listen, the Spirit of God moved inside of you to make you something before he wanted you to do something. He wants to make you into the man and woman of God that he's calling you to be. Spirit life is first about what God wants me to be, and then about what he wants me to do. See, listen to me. We must be people of the Spirit before we can do the things of the Spirit. We must be people of the Spirit before we can do things of the Spirit. Our prayer each morning, our prayer each day should be, Lord, make me today who you want me to be. Make me today the person that you want me to be. Make me today the individual that you want me today. Make me today the husband that you want me to be. Make me today the wife that you want me to be. Make me today the employer that you want me to be. Make me today who you want me to be. Spirit life is first about being and then about doing. Listen, think person first before you think power, never vice versa. Never vice versa. Think person first. Who does God want me to be? So spirit life is first, who is about being and then about doing. That flows then into the second word here that I'm going to talk with you. It is the word practice. The word practice. Notice what Paul, the context of what Paul wrote in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 25. The context is in the context of the fruit of the Spirit. In fact, it was just two verses before this that he mentions the fruit of the Spirit. Practice is the fruit of the Spirit. Remember Paul, love, joy, peace. Listen to him now. Love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Just think about the list again for a second. See, watch this. The context here is the fruit of the Spirit. Here's why this matters. Here's why this matters. The fruit of the Spirit is the character of God that the Holy Spirit wants to produce in you. Think about it now. Love, joy, love. That love. The word love there literally means. And I'm not gonna elongate this. I'm not gonna stretch this sermon out. Just want to mention real quick. Love is the kind of love that sacrifices itself. It gives up its rights for another. That's what that word love there means. Joy is the word that means happiness. It literally means happiness there. Peace means living harmoniously. Yeah, that's time to grunt there. Living harmoniously. Forbearance. The word there, forbearance, some of you may have in your Bible the word patience. The word patience is a good word, but it's not the most accurate word. The reason New Living NIV went to forbearance is because patience in our time doesn't exactly communicate. Because it is patience, watch this, it is patience that is enduring through hardship or difficulty or persecution. It is more than just being patient and waiting on God. It is patience that endures. In fact, some of your Bibles have the word long suffering. That's the reason why? Because patience, forbearance, suffers long. The word kindness means warm-hearted. Goodness means moral character in action, that your moral character is in action. Faithfulness literally means trustworthy. Gentleness means humility. Self-control means resolute control. Now think about that for a moment. Who does that sound like? Sounds like Christ. Sounds like Christ. What the Holy Spirit is wanting to do is he is wanting to develop the character of God inside you and I. The fruit of the Spirit, when we have a spirit life, when our life is centered, when at the center of our life is the Holy Spirit of Jesus Christ that lives inside of us, he then produces the character of God in us so that God, he makes me love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. The Holy Spirit makes the produces that in me. Why? So that you and I will have the character of God in our lives. Listen to me. The Holy Spirit is more interested in producing the character of God in us than he is the power of God in us. Wow. I'm not saying that's more important. I am telling you it has a higher priority. Why is that? Because if you are going to flow in the power of God, you need the character of God in order to be able to handle that. You know I'm telling the truth. You and I, listen to me. Let me tell you something about high-powered, powerful ministry. And I'm not just talking about preachers when I say that. High-powered, powerful ministry brings with it a white-hot light of criticism and pressure and stress, and you and I need the character of God in order to be able to operate in that environment. There you go. The character of God, developing the character of God in us guards us against abuses of the power of God. I'm going to talk about the power of God in a minute, but I want to just camp there. Listen to me. Developing the character of God is what safeguards us against abusing the power of God. You and I have seen it. We've all seen it. You know what the tragedies of the tragedies of the last 20 or 30 years when it comes to high-profile names, and I don't have to name one. All of you can name three or four of high-profile that has fallen there in dramatic ways in many. You know what the deal is there? Because everybody will say, what happened? What went on? Man, they had such a powerful ministry. God was moving so powerfully. God was doing things. What possibly could have gone wrong? Listen to me. Nothing was wrong with the power. It was the character. It was the character. I'm going to make a statement that I've thought about for a long time. I don't know that I've ever said it publicly, but I think it's true. I think it should be true for every one of us. I do not want any more of the power of God than my character can handle. And you don't either. You don't want any more of the power of God than the character of God developed inside of you can handle. The flip side of that is this. The Holy Spirit, if you'll let him, will develop the character of God inside of you so much so that he can pour the power of God into you and I, right? What are we talking about? We're talking about spirit life. I'm talking about Monday morning spirit life. Everybody can live Sunday morning spirit life. Everybody can live Sunday morning. Listen, it's easy, man, when the music's going and the band is playing and the praisers are worshiping and the congregation is clapping and the music's so loud that it'll kill bugs in the air. Oh, man, it's easy to have spirit life then, man. I mean, you feel it, right? I'm talking about Monday morning spirit life. When you walk into the workplace and there's not a praise band. Come on now. There's not, the music's not going. Music, it's not music to your ears. I'm talking about Monday morning spirit life. That's when the character of God matters. And listen, the fruit of the Spirit are the character of God, which the Holy Spirit wants to produce in us, representing, watch this, a paradigm shift. When the character of God is developed in me, that's a paradigm shift. That's a fundamental change. Why? Because now I don't have the character of Glenn. Now I begin to develop the character of God. That's transformational. That changes everything for you and I. So then, I have to say, Lord, is my love self-sacrificing? Is my joy deep and not just satisfying, but life-giving? Do I walk at peace that is harmonious with others? Lord, I'm going to use the word long-suffering. It's the best word that I am. Am I long-suffering with others? Am I kind? Is there a warm-heartedness to me? Is there my goodness, my moral excellence, is it in action? Do I live it out in a way? My faithfulness there means trustworthy. Lord, am I trustworthy? Gentleness means humility. That word used to be, in some of the older translations, that word will be meekness. Meekness. Meekness is not weakness. Meekness is power under the control of the Holy Spirit. And self-control. Self-control. Self-control literally means resolutely controlling my words, my deeds, my actions, and my attitudes. Let me say that again. Self-control is being resolutely, by the power of the Holy Spirit, controlling my words, my deeds, and my attitudes. Wow. Now, here's the thing. That third word jumps in there. That the principle is spirit life is always about being before doing. The practice is the fruit of the Spirit. That's the practice. You want to know how to practice living in the Spirit? Practice the fruit of the Spirit. Allow the Holy Spirit to practice that in you. It means that sometimes you may have to hold your tongue. Let's just make it real. Hold your tongue. It means that when you're ready to give up on a situation, you may have to suffer longer. Long suffering, right? It means that your love may be that you in your loving, you put somebody else ahead of yourself. You put somebody first. It is self-sacrificing, sacrificing my rights. Let me just make it. Listen to me. You may have a right to tell them off. You may have a right to do that. But the Holy Spirit says you should forfeit your right for the sake of the individual or the sake of the relationship. Wow. There it is. You walk these out, these fruit of the Spirit. Then, watch this. So the principle is, spirit life is always about first about being, then about doing. And then the practice of that is living out the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Listen to me. You need to do, I've done this over the years. Listen, you need, and if you haven't done it recently, get you a 3x5 index card and write out the fruit of the Spirit and write a one word definition beside it so that you understand what you're talking about and keep it in your pocket. I am serious. Lord, am I living this? If you can't commit it to memory, commit it to paper and commit that to your pocket so you can get to it, right? Fruit of the Spirit, the character of God. When you think fruit of the Spirit, think character of God. That's what that is. Fruit is not just something magical that appears. It's God developing the character, His character inside of you. Then and only then, watch this, then and only then is there power. The principle is being first, then doing. The practice is the fruit of the Spirit. Then comes the power of the Spirit. Now, let me say, I want to be absolutely clear that you understand. I am not diminishing the power of the Holy Spirit by putting it in that third position. And I know as Pentecostals and Charismatics, a lot of times we want to go there first. I'm not diminishing that at all. I'm not diminishing that at all. In fact, it is because I value the power of God. It's because I value it that I want to protect it. It's not that I have no respect for it. I value it so much that I want it to operate in character. Listen, the gifts of the Spirit are never badges of accomplishment. They're never badges of accomplishment. The gifts of the Spirit, the power of the Spirit isn't a badge of accomplishment. It's a manifestation of God's glory God's power for His glory, for the edification or the benefit of the body and the encouragement of the individual. That's what the power of God, the gifts of the Spirit are. The gifts of the Spirit are manifestations of God's power meant for His glory, meant for the benefit of the church, and meant for the encouragement of the individual. The encouragement of the individual. And those gifts, I'll just name some of them. Word of wisdom, word of knowledge, prophecy, faith, healing, miracles, discernment, tongues, interpretation of tongues, service, teaching, giving, leadership, mercy, and then the fivefold ministry, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. All of those are manifestations of the power of God meant for His glory, the benefit, the edification of the body, and the encouragement of the individual. However, those things are meant to be manifested through an individual and in an atmosphere where the character of God has been fully formed. There it is. Where the character of God is fully formed. That does not mean you have to be perfect or to be like God to be used by God. That's not what I mean at all. What it means is that the Holy Spirit is forming in us God's character so that He can then use the power of God to minister into people's lives. Listen, I do not diminish the power. I stand on this pulpit this morning because the power of God moved in my life in the way of healing. That's why I stand here this morning. I'm not diminishing the power of God, not at all. I'm just saying to you that power of God is so valuable that we should seek the character of God and then let Him worry about when He's going to bring the power of God and manifest it when He feels it is right, when He feels it is in line. Do not run straight to the power. Remember the principle of being. Remember the practice of the fruit of the Spirit. Remember that then God begins to work it out. Now, let me see if I can just use one example. Just one example of how this all comes together, of principle, practice, and power. I'm just going to use one example because I've been talking a little bit in kind of we've just been talking about the general idea this morning. Let me just give you one example this morning, and it's an example that probably, I'm just going to tell you, it's an example that most people struggle with the most. I mean, if you're going to use an example, why not use an example that most people struggle with the most? And it is not what you think it is. It has to do with speech. Most people struggle the most. Most of us struggle the most with being able to control our tongues. Right? There's an interesting thing. Craig Kenner, who is a PhD, he's a New Testament scholar. He also happens to be associated with or a part of the Assemblies of God. He's one of the best New Testament teachers and scholars that I've ever read. Craig Kenner, it's just incredible. And he makes an interesting observation. He says this: the Spirit was especially associated with the ability to prophesy, to speak as God inspired a person to speak. And Paul's writings, the writings, the New Testament letters bear that out. Paul, the Holy Spirit moving in a person's life is most notably associated with you and I, and I've talked about this before, you and I being individuals who speak as inspired persons on God's behalf. In other words, when you move in the gifts of the Spirit, you are speaking on God's behalf. You are speaking on God's behalf. In fact, think about it for a moment. The list there, and depending on how you where you go in Scripture, there are anywhere from 22 to 28 or so gifts of the Spirit. Over half of them have something to do with speech. Think about it for a minute. I'm making a point here now. Over half of them have something to do with speech, and all of the rest of them are related or indirectly related to speech in some way. Now, let me gift, word of knowledge. That is, that you, by the Holy Spirit, have knowledge about something in somebody's life that they need to know and are able to impart it to them. Word of wisdom. That is, that you, by the Holy Spirit, have the God has given you some not only some insight into somebody else's life, but how for them to use that information that they have in a wise way. Prophecy. Prophecy is proclaiming what God has said on God's behalf. Tongues, interpretation of, you just go through the list. So many of them are directly related to speech, and the rest of them are indirectly related to speech. In other words, you do understand, don't you, that a ministry of service is speaking for God as much as the ministry of preaching. A ministry of service, you go down and serve the homeless, that is as much speaking for God as is standing in the pulpit preaching. So they're all related to speaking for God. Here's my point. No wonder, listen to me, no wonder character matters so much to the Holy Spirit. If you're going to be speaking for God, character matters. There it is. In other words, if I'm going to be speaking for God, watch this, and I'll just put it on me, okay? I'll just put it on me. If I'm going to be speaking for God, it matters what I say in this pulpit. It matters what I say at this altar. It matters what I say in my office. But it also matters what I say when I'm standing in line at Walmart. Wow. And that's where the character becomes an issue, because I got to tell you, it's easy to feel like I have the character of God when I stand in the pulpit or I'm at the altar or I'm in my office. The character of God comes into question when I'm standing behind somebody in the line at Walmart. Right? So what does that mean for me? What that means for me is I need the character of God in my life so that my speech can truly represent the character of God. There it is. That's spirit life. That's spirit life. And can I tell you, again, I'm just going to put it on me. You can apply this however you like for your life. I'm just going to put it on me. But I got to tell you, when the Holy Spirit develops the character of God in me such that I'm able to hold my tongue when I know I have a right to say and when I know I'm in the right to say, but the character of God is developed in such a way that I can hold my tongue, I'm telling you, that's a paradigm shift. That's a change inside of me because of the Holy Spirit of God. Wow. And you can apply that principle across all the spectrums of life. You can apply it in relationships. You can apply it to sexual issues. You can apply it to purity in your life. You can apply it to how you consume. You can apply it to how you spend your money. Wow, there's one we could camp out with on a little bit. Such that Let me just say that. Yes, Pastor, you mean spirit life has to do with my money? Absolutely it does. But not necessarily in the way that you think. Or not only in the way that you think. Spirit life has to do not only with when we take up offering and when you go to the website and give and you go to the, you use your text and you text your gift in. Listen, spirit life, one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit is the gift of generosity, is the ability to earn and to be generous with it. So that, watch this, to be careful and to be generous. That's what the word of generosity and giving there, that is a gift of the Holy Spirit. Well, let me tell you, in my life, in your life, you understand, don't you, that the character of God developing in me, the character of God developing in us means that it's not just important to God whether I tithe or not or give or not. But it also is important to God what I do with the rest of the money. Wow, there it is. Even at our best sometimes, We want to say, I give 10% to God and the rest is mine. I know people like to think that the first thing that a baby really learns is mommy or daddy. But that's not been my observation. My observation is the first thing that we all learn is mine. Mine. Come on now. Mine. So that, watch. What's that? Mine. See, I told you. He's bearing witness there. Mine. So you understand what that means. When the character of God is developed, I mean, love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control, when those things are developed in me, that means that I'm willing then to listen to the Holy Spirit, not only with the 10% and the offerings above that, but what I do with the rest. It matters to Him how I conduct myself as a steward. And watch this, and you and I know when that begins to happen in our lives, when I really am then able to begin to be a good steward and to be generous with everything that God's given in me, you and I can know that that is transformation. That's a paradigm shift, because our natural tendency is to say mine. The supernatural tendency, by the power of God and formed by the character of God, is to say yours, and you tell me what to do with it. Amen? Is this making sense this morning? I told you we were going to plow down and get very, very practical this morning, because here's the thing. Is spirit life about the power of God? Absolutely it is. Is spirit life about words of wisdom and words of knowledge and tongues and interpretation? And is spirit life about gifts and healing and miracles? Is spirit life about service and generosity and leadership? Is spirit life? Yes, spirit life is all about that. But spirit life first is about the character formed inside of me, so that I can truly be a voice for God in a world that so deeply needs it. Let me tell you something this morning. I'm going to try to pull this down and close this out. I always have trouble on the last sermon of a series because I want to preach everything I didn't get a chance to preach. Let me tell you this morning. Listen to me. What causes the world to fall out with Christians and with the church is not a lack of power. It's a lack of character. There it is. It's a lack of character. What the world needs to see is individuals who have the character of God and then live in the power of God and represent God. Listen, if you're going to be the voice of God in the world that you live in your workplace, in your marriage, in your home, you need to know that character matters. And when character matters, then you are an even more powerful husband. You are even a more powerful mom. You are even a more powerful wife. You're even a more powerful employer. You're even a more powerful witness for Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. Yeah, you can give the Lord praise for that. So here's what I want us to, when we come down to the end of this series, here's what I want us to know and to understand and to grasp and get a hold of this morning. It is that if you allow the Holy Spirit to develop the character of God in you, you will be the kind of person that He can use powerfully for God's glory. Amen? Allow the Holy Spirit to develop the character of God in you, and you will become the kind of person that He can use powerfully. I want to see the gifts of the Spirit moving powerfully, and all of them, not just the high profile, all of them moving powerfully, and they will do that when we begin to allow the Holy Spirit to develop the character in us. See, spirit life is a life that centers on the Spirit of God in order to develop the character of God, and through that development to be the kind of person that He can use to bring God, to bring the God glory, to benefit the body, and to encourage the individual. And when He does that, that changes everything. Amen? It changes everything. So, Pastor, what can I do? What can I do tomorrow to live more of a spirit life? What can I do tomorrow, Monday morning tomorrow? And there are many things. It is not, by saying this, I don't want you to feel like I'm oversimplifying the issue, but if there is one thing that I could tell you, is this: pay attention to the Holy Spirit. Pay attention to Him. He's trying to do something all the time. He's trying to form character in you all the time and in me all the time. Pay attention to Him. Can I just use the two examples that I made? Pay attention to Him when the urge is there to strike back. And the Holy Spirit says, no, no, you be long-suffering. Let me tell you, if you do that, it'll begin to form the character of God in you and in me. Pay attention to Him tomorrow. I promise you, that this is not prophetic. This is, I'm just saying this because I know humans. But I promise you, many of you, if not all of us, are going to have an opportunity this week to pay attention to the Holy Spirit when He says, keep your mouth shut. Does that not hurt? You do understand, don't you? I promise you, I'm trying to close this, but you do understand, don't you? When somebody says something to you and you feel that urge to strike back, you feel that, and something says to you, don't say that, just be quiet. You do understand, don't you? That's not you. That's not you. And that's not Satan. Satan's never told you to be quiet. No, that's the Holy Spirit. That's the Holy Spirit. And what He's trying to do is in that moment is to form the character of God in you. And yes, what is done, it may be an injustice, but to the Holy Spirit, that doesn't matter, because the character of God being formed in you will long and way overcome any injustice. Wow. Pay attention to the Holy Spirit. Pay attention to Him when you read the Word and He's speaking a scripture to you. Pay attention to Him when you're disciplining your child. Pay attention, hear His voice. And might I also say the other side of that? Let me just say the other side of that too. There is a function of the Holy Spirit as well, that sometimes He tells us to say something that we just don't want to say. Right? To speak a word. To encourage somebody. To correct someone that we just don't want to. That also, what I'm saying to you is this. If I could tell you one thing this morning, pay attention to the Holy Spirit. Ask the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, heighten my awareness of You in my life as I live out my life. I want to pay attention to You. I want to hear Your voice. I know You are trying to form the character of God in me. And I want to be that person because I want to be Your voice. I want to be a voice that the world can see and they can know that there is a God who loves them and cares for them. Yeah, I want to be a voice for Him. Amen. If you want to be a voice for Him this morning, will you stand to your feet? Yes. I'm going to do two things. I'm going to do them rather quickly. First thing is this. I want you to close your eyes. If you are here this morning and you have sat here and you've listened to all that I've said and you say in yourself, but Pastor, I'm not in relationship with God at all. I'm living for myself, and I know I am. As you preached this morning, I realized there's nothing in me that is really living for God. And you need to give your life to Him. You need to turn your life over to Him. If you are here this morning, that is you. And you have felt through this that you needed to change that, and you desire this morning to change that. I just want you to slip up your hand real quick. You know you're not living for God. You're living for yourself. And you want to change that this morning. If that's you, just slip up your hand. I'm going to give you an opportunity to do that this morning. If you know you're not living for God, you're living for yourself. You're in control. You want the Holy, you want God, you want to give God, you want to change it. You want to give God control now. Yes. Okay. Okay. I want you to look at me then. Listen to me. No one raise their hand, I want you to look at me. Listen to me. Every single one of us this morning, we've been talking about paradigm shift. If you and I want to see a shift, we are good about complaining about our culture. We're good about complaining about our world. If you and I want to see a change, a transformation, a paradigm shift in our world, we must be the people that God wants us to be. Have the character in us that He wants to develop in us so that He can use us in powerful ways to change our world one person at a time. Allow the Holy Spirit to develop the character of God in you, and you will be the kind of person God can use powerfully for His glory. May I say this to you this morning? We were talking about it. I was talking about it with some people the other way. Listen to me this morning. When I say to you, when you go out of here, that you are a witness for God, it's so easy to the next time you think about that, be next Sunday when you were getting in here. Can I encourage you this morning? You are a witness for God. You can transform your world by the people you work with, through the people you work with, by the waitress at the that you go today, by the lady at the convenience store that you see five times a week when you buy your coffee. And she desperately needs to hear somebody say, God loves you. God loves you. I forgot to. I was going to end this whole series with a picture that most of you saw on Facebook. I promise you, I'm closing. Paul closed seven times. I think I'm up to four. In one of the books called, I promise you, I'll finish up with this. Here it is. And I regret that I didn't have the picture to put up. How many of you on Facebook saw the picture of Geraldine sitting on the sidewalk about 3 months ago, leading the young girl to Christ at Dunkin' Donuts? How many of you saw it on Facebook? You know what I'm talking about? Can I tell you something? That witnessing started when we were in line and they didn't get our order right. And we acted like we were supposed to act to her. Listen to me. You can't get furious about your cup of coffee and then turn around and tell them God loves you. You can't bless them out because you got the wrong kind of jelly donut. And then tell them that you want to tell them about God. This makes it, it's about the character of God. And when the character of God is formed in me, it opens up possibilities for the power of God to be demonstrated. And that young girl, when Geraldine spoke to her, I felt like we just needed to give her a little gift. And so I took a little money out of my pocket and I gave it to Geraldine. I said, you go do it. She went and did. I thought it was about the gift. It wasn't about the gift. It was about the gift. Because Geraldine told her, said, we want to plant this in your life and just tell you God loves you. And she broke out in tears. And she said, my grandmother has been praying for me, but I wouldn't listen to her. And now I know God's speaking to me. Yes. That's the power of God. That's speaking prophetically. But it's formed first in our character and then the power of God used in our life. And I want us to be people who are powerful in Him and His voice in our world. Amen. Amen. Father, we thank you and we praise you this morning for the principle of being before doing, of the practice of the fruit and character of God in our life, and of the power of God that we truly can live a spirit life, a life that is centered on the person of Jesus Christ and by His Holy Spirit in our lives. And I pray that we would be those individuals and we would not just want a paradigm shift, but we would be catalysts to a paradigm shift in our communities, in our workplaces, in our families, and in the places that you've placed us. We thank you and we praise you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I encourage you to be here Wednesday night. It's July 3rd. Yes, we are having service. If you are in town, I encourage you to be a part of those services. Till I see you again, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift His countenance upon you and give you peace. Go in the blessings of the Lord. God bless you. We love you.